This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine with Bronwyn and Tass. We're now going to move to a different subject. We're going to have a look at what the ACTU is up to. We've got Will Strachey, who's who's been on our show many times before. Will Strachey works for the Victorian Trades Hall Council and did work pretty actively supporting the marriage equality campaign and really helped, you know, with that very positive outcome. Good morning to you, Will.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. Now, you are with Victorian Trades Hall still, or have you moved to the ACTU?
No. I'm with the Trades Hall. So in my role at Trades Hall, I went to the ACTU Congress. So the ACTU is the national body
right.
The trade union movement, and we're the peak body for the Victorian Union.
So, Will, it's Bronwyn here. I worked in Trades Hall. I worked in Trades Hall for a while. One of the most, the coldest
buildings in the whole world.
Is it still like that?
Yeah, but it's a beautiful building.
It's gorgeous.
Freezing. It's such a beautiful building, but because of its age and its heritage status, we're a bit limited in what we can do to kind of
fix it.
The rooms are fine, but if you're in a room, but as soon as you step out into those cavernous corridors,
freezing.
Absolutely freezing.
Well, the reason why
it's a little brisk.
The reason why I was sort of ahhing and carrying on, Will, is because my notes here say that you're the ACTU secretary, and of course, I know who the ACTU secretary. I didn't think it was
Sally
you.
McManus.
Of course.
I'm super pumped that you might have made that mistake because Sally is awesome.
Well, no, it's just my briefing
papers. And now Michelle has been as president, so it's exciting.
It's great news. So we're seeing that Congress is actually now doing some work around LGBTIQA worker rights. What's prompted this and are you doing?
Okay, so the trade union movement has actually been doing things in this space for quite some time. So things like when we do workplace negotiations, getting claims up around making sure that workplaces recognise the full diversity of family arrangements and things like, you know, so that families are not just mum, dad and kids, that there are single-sex couples that have kids, that there are that we are a diverse community and families come in all shapes and sizes. So this is really just a reflection of the work that has already been done by unions around the country. And the ACTU, at its Congress, voted up some policies that really encourage that work to continue but also expand it out some of the thinking around what we might advocate for. So, for example, at the moment there are about 200,000 jobs around the country where organisations can say that for religious reasons they don't employ, you know, LGBTIQA people, or they don't employ single mums or whatever. And we acknowledge that there are some jobs where it might be appropriate that someone has a particular religious view, or like if you're teaching religious education at a school, of course you fit that. But, for instance, the cleaner at that school, their marital status or gender or identity or sexuality
is irrelevant,
right? So what we're saying is there are still laws that allow that to happen, and we think as a movement that those laws need to change for people in workplaces. And, you know, the problem with it is it all sounds fine, like, oh, you know, we just don't tell anyone. But let's say that you need to take carer's leave to look after your partner. The reality for an LGBTIQA person is that sometimes just by making that application to take carer's leave to look after the person that they love, they are outing themselves, in which case they face the sack. So that's kind of the movement has said that's not right, it's not fair. So we're going to do some work around advocating to change those laws. And then we also know that there are some of our comrades in the movement, particularly our trans comrades, who face particular challenges at work, especially when transitioning, and that's just getting work and keeping work. And we say that in workplaces we can do some things to make safe and supportive workplaces for the whole community, and that's good for everyone.
Well, do you have many examples or do you have much evidence to say that some of these laws are actually acting as and people are losing their jobs as a result of these discriminatory provisions?
We know survey after survey of our community tells us, particularly for the trans community, that they face particular challenges in both getting jobs and keeping jobs. But we know, for example, again, survey after survey tells us that around 40% of LGBTIQA people aren't out at work because they don't feel safe at work. And they don't feel safe because, you know, it's either they've witnessed incidents of the culture's not right for them to come out at work. They know that it's not, that they know that they may face discrimination. They've seen that happen. And so because people, what we as a union movement stand for is safe and supportive workplaces for every worker. And so what we're saying is that might mean that we need to have a conversation in workplaces with employers and with the workers together, coming together and working out what it is that we can do to make sure that every worker feels safe.
Of course, and there's a substantial body of evidence that shows that anticipated discrimination can contribute towards anxiety and therefore therefore feeling mentally unwell at work. So
that's right.
What that results in increased sick leave, poor performance and those sorts of things. So there's... You're onto something here. Absolutely.
Yeah, and look, you know, you remember that fantastic movie with Tom Hanks, Philadelphia? I mean, how old is that movie? What, over 25 years old, you know, tackling that issue? And, you know, you would have thought we'd been a lot further down the track by now, you know. So good on the ACTU for you know, continuing the fight.
Yeah, and just, I mean, for those... Trades Hall, we've got a couple of organisers who work specifically to around the issues related to LGBTIQA rights at work. And we've got some toolkits and some bits and pieces that people can use to have some of those conversations. And that also, you know, Tass, you talked about, well, can you give us examples? So some of this work that's being done now is also to create environments where people can feel comfortable and safe to talk about those experiences together, so we can start to build up that story. And because, you know, the survey after survey tells us this, but people who are experiencing this don't feel confident and comfortable to talk about it more broadly. And what we need to be able to do is see where this sits, where it lives, which industries it might live in particularly, where the challenges are, and then work out, well, what are we going to do? What are the solutions to fix those at a workplace level? That might be a cultural change, but also what might we do legally? Like what kind of laws do we want to see so that we can help move that change along a bit faster? And that work has been... Yep, go.
And just a final comment from you, Will. Talk to us about how you interface with the Ruddock Religious Freedoms Inquiry and what you expect to see come out of that.
Look, I don't know is the answer. A part of me says it may never see the light of day, certainly before the election. It may not go further. What we would say, as I say, is we say that in our place is workplaces. That's the work that we do, and we don't want to see anything implemented that is going to make the challenges already faced by LGBTIQA workers any worse. And in fact, what we want to see is the opposite. We want to see a rollback of religious exemptions from anti-discrimination law in circumstances where, for a person's job, it's just not an inherent requirement of the job that they hold a particular, that they have a particular religion or a particular, just a particular religious view.
So in terms of who you target, you're obviously targeting state and federal governments because they need to amend their legislation to prohibit employers from being able to discriminate people against their... Yep, okay, cool, got it.
So that's the legal change we want to see. And then there's also cultural change that needs to happen
at the workplace level, of course.
And we do, that's right, and that's some other work that we're doing around, you know, working with workplaces to look at their workplace cultures and look at what their policies and their procedures and those things, and just make sure that they're not, for instance, inadvertently sending a message that says that every family isn't equal.
Well, thank you very much for your time. Great to have you back on the airwaves. We'd like to stay close to this issue. It's a very important issue for many of our listeners and our community. So if there are key developments, please feel free to let us know, but we will stay close to you anyway.
Good on you. Thanks so much for having me on this
morning. Thank you.
Enjoy your day.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.